Curious City is supported by the Poetry Foundation, with a reminder that Chicago is the pulse of poetry. Visit the Poetry Foundation on the corner of Superior and Dearborn to explore their library of 40,000 books, attend public events, and view Frente a la Vida, Facing Life, a striking multidisciplinary art exhibition by Chicago artist Victoria Martinez. Learn more at poetryfoundation.org.
What's up, Chicago? I'm Erin Allen, and this is Curious City. In our last episode, we heard about the two pilots who have landed small airplanes on Chicago's famous Lakeside Expressway, DuSable Lakeshore Drive. Both of them were facing critical emergencies that forced their hands. And one of those pilots was John Ginley.
Midway Tower, Air Coop 99055, Mayday, Mayday, Mayday.
We wanted to hear more about how John avoided imminent disaster. Curious City producer Justin Bull talked to him, and he picks up the story from here.
One of the first things you might notice when you hear John's conversation with air traffic control is just how calm he sounds.
Yes, sir. Just south of the shoreline here over Soldiers Field, we have a partial power engine failure.
Roger. Proceed direct the airport, and you can plane runway 22 left.
Negative, sir. Unable. We'll be somewhere down here in the shoreline.
I didn't realize until after the fact how calm it really did sound, because internally it was everything but calm.
Making a Mayday call is as rare as it gets, so John says he didn't want to stutter.
I knew that time was very critical, and we did not have a lot of time because we were gliding very quickly back towards the Earth. So I knew that if I wanted to get that Mayday call out, I didn't want to have to repeat myself. So I wanted to make sure that it was clear, it was concise, it was enunciated properly, so that way there was no question who was on the receiving end of that, of what they were hearing.
John's been a professional pilot now for 10 years. He started flying when he was just 13, despite being the only pilot in the family. Between breakdown and touchdown on that fateful day in 2018, John and his co-pilot, Allie Gilbert, had just 2.5 minutes.
2.5 minutes goes by in the blink of an eye.
It was a picture-perfect summer day.
Yeah, it was absolutely beautiful. It was 75, 80 degrees. You know, we had the canopy windows open on the airplane, arm hanging out the window type of day.
John and Allie were flying back from the annual aviation celebration in Oshkosh, Wisconsin. Their airplane was a rental.
It was a 1946 Air Coupe, a vintage aircraft, great airplane. And so we flew it up there. We had a great time, and we were on our way home when everything started to unfold. So this was July of 2018. And on our way home, we stopped in Schaumburg, Pilot Pete's Cafe at the Schaumburg Airport. And Allie had the idea, let's go fly down the Chicago shoreline on the way home. There's kind of two ways to go around. You can go down the shoreline or you can go around the city. And the shoreline is, of course, the more scenic route. It also cuts off a little bit of time, but it's a beautiful way to travel, especially in an airplane like the Air Coupe. So we opted to do that, and everything was good up until the moment that it wasn't.
Things went awry as they were flying south past Soldier Field.
I noticed that the engine rolled back significantly. So our power went from essentially 100% power down to about 25% power. And that was alarming, obviously. And so it immediately started trying to do everything that you could to remedy that situation, checking the throttle, checking the mixture, checking the fuel, all these different items that we're trained to do, trained to look at when some sort of issue like that happens. And when nothing responded, that's when I realized that, all right, we've got something a little more serious going on here.
They were about 8 miles away from Midway Airport, and about 1,000 feet above the ground. John had no control over the throttle, and he realized he was not going to get it back.
So the airplane started to descend. You know, in an airplane such as the Air Coupe, you know, we didn't have great gliding characteristics. Some airplanes have great ones. The Air Coupe did not. It was built post-World War II. And at that point, we realized that, you know, we weren't going to make it to an airport. That was completely out of the question. That's when I got on the radio and called Chicago Midway Tower to declare that emergency, to at least let somebody know what was going on and where we were planning to go.
Well, Roger, and you going to be able to make the Lakeshore Drive?
Can you give me a direction on that?
It's Lakeshore Drive. Should be right up underneath you, right off your right-hand side, sir.
Okay, is that close on the water here?
Yeah, it goes straight down the lakeshore.
Okay, we've got it, sir.
I'm hearing the air traffic controller suggest Lakeshore Drive, and I'm curious, did that make perfect sense to you, or did other sort of possibly less dangerous landing spots come to mind?
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, the controller at Midway, their first response was proceeding direct to Midway. That's the obvious choice, right? When you call Midway Tower, they're expecting you want to come here. But we realized very quickly that that was not possible.
Things were not looking good. But John said this is where having a co-pilot was crucial. Allie, then his girlfriend, was looking for places to land.
And obviously over downtown Chicago, there are not many. You know, 95% of our trip from Ohio to Oshkosh, Wisconsin was over farm fields and cornfields and soybean fields, right? Those would have been awesome places to have this happen. But of course, the time that it does, we are over, you know, metro Chicago.
They debated the best options, including a baseball field.
You know, a baseball field is a green space, but it's not that big in the grand scheme of things. We thought about the beach. And, you know, obviously it's July, it's summer. There's a lot of people on the beach.
They also considered a water landing, but in a small aircraft with fixed tricycle landing gear, they were worried the plane would flip onto its back.
If that happens, your odds of survivability go way down.
You might be wondering, what about Northerly Island, the former home of Chicago's downtown single runway airport called Meigs Field? Well, John says it was behind them, and it was a park at that point, with hills and a lagoon. So air traffic control's suggestion of Lakeshore Drive, not so bad.
When he suggested it, it kind of prompted our eyeballs to look at Lakeshore Drive and say, yeah, you know what? It's long, it's flat, multi-lane. You know, it's probably the best shot we have here.
Unfortunately, Lakeshore Drive was not totally obstacle-free. As they were pulling in for their final approach, Allie noticed the 35th Street pedestrian bridge. That's the one with the big swooping suspension wires right in front of them.
What happens next is the truth comes out that I didn't see the 35th Street pedestrian bridge. I was focused. I was tunnel vision, right? And so as I'm focused on putting this airplane down on a multi-lane road here, Allie saw the bridge and she said, Johnny, bridge. And that's the point where my eye focus went from the road up about 20 feet and saw the bridge staring right back at us. And we have three options here. We either go over the bridge, we go through the bridge, or we go under the bridge. Obviously going through the bridge isn't going to happen. And at that point, because we were at such a low energy state, we did not have energy to climb. You know, we didn't have energy to sustain level flight, let alone climb. So going over top of the bridge was also impossible. So at that point, we were forced, you know, the hand was basically forced to say, okay, we're going underneath the bridge.
So you went under the bridge. How much did you have to dive to make sure you didn't hit it?
Yeah, that was a bit of a last second push. And, you know, and this is the point, I think, in the journey where, you know, I talk to anybody who goes through something crazy like this, there's a moment of blackout, right? There's absolutely a moment where I look back, I'm like, I think I blacked out a little bit. That I think happened right there. And so what I remember is having a last little push dive to get underneath the bridge. And after basically popped out the other side of the bridge, was right about there where we touched down on the ground and ultimately came to a stop pretty quickly.
And just to point out again, this clearance is around 15 feet for a car that would be driving underneath or a truck or something like that. Were there cars immediately under the bridge that you also had to factor for?
Right. You know, to be completely honest with you, Justin, I don't know. What I do remember is as we came out the other side, it was traffic, right? It was red brake lights. And at that point, that was kind of that uh-oh moment. But I think the cars that were behind us saw this and stopped. And I think the cars that were ahead of us naturally kept going. So that created a little bit of a clearance and roadway there for us to be able to touch down. From touchdown to stop, a normal airplane, you know, that size stops in, you know, maybe 1,000 feet. The calculated distance was about 200 feet. I think I landed with my feet on the brake, so we came to a stop very, very quickly. But yeah, that's how it all unfolded.
I'm just, taken aback by all these factors to go through your mind, both you and your co-pilot, in a matter of two and a half minutes.
Mm.
I don't know. I'm wondering how you do that.
How you do that? Yeah. You know, I think it is a combination of things. I think there's a lot of training kicks in, and obviously adrenaline kicks in. So you're a little bit on hyperdrive. And there is a little bit of luck. There's a little bit of, okay, you know, I'm making this decision based on what I see around me, all the things I'm taking in. And I'm really hoping that that's going to be the path that works out well. So it's a lot of information. It's a lot of decision-making on top of the human factor side, right? Is this really happening? Is this happening to me? There's no way this is happening, right? You're coming to that point of acceptance saying, okay, this is actually happening. Then you're jumping in. So, all right, everything that I've trained for, everything we've worked toward, which is to this point never happened in my career, is happening now.
What do you remember doing and thinking once you got safely on the ground?
Shockingly enough, there was an awesome Chicago police officer who was maybe a half a mile up the road from us on Lakeshore Drive, and he saw the whole thing happen. So he was at the airplane in probably 30 seconds or less. And he was able to immediately start, you know, redirecting traffic and kind of keeping the area clear and checking, of course, to make sure we were okay. And, to this day, awesome, awesome guy. Still, you know, everyone smiles, keep in contact. He was the first one that we talked to.
After this event, you know, how quickly did the both of you get back up into the air to fly again?
It definitely took a little bit because, you know, at this point, we were both kind of two different stages, right, of our aviation career. I was already a professional pilot flying. This was my job. So if I wanted to keep getting a paycheck, I had to go back to work eventually. Allie had just become a private pilot, just got her private pilot certificate 2 weeks prior. So this was, you know, very much her, you know, kind of first big, exciting inaugural trip as a pilot. You know, something that should never happen in your career happened in the first 2 weeks. So, you know, process this a little bit differently. And so we definitely took a little bit of time off, of course. And ultimately what we did is we hopped in an airplane again. You know, we said, all right, we have to do this. You got to get back on the horse. And so we rented an airplane and we went up and we flew around for an hour just to say, okay, we took off under our own control. We landed under our own control. You know, this is the norm. And that slowly just kind of got us back into, you know, the everyday routine.
I'm curious, how does the memory of this landing stay with you today? Do you think about it a lot?
It is something that you think about all the time. We still are very active general aviation pilots. So we do it all the time. And I tell you what, it definitely changes the way we look at that approach now. You know, the risk that's always been there, but you're looking at it through just a little different lens now. And I try to help, you know, impress upon that to you know, pilots that I work with now as they're coming up through the ranks, you know, in knowing their airplane inside and out, because I credit that with our survival there. It is just being really one with the airplane, being in tune with it, knowing your energy state at all times, and being able to execute when, you know, time matters most.
I understand today you are an FAA designated pilot examiner, meaning you assess prospective pilots to determine if they, you know, have the skills necessary to earn their certificate, in-flight exams, check rides, mm-hmm. things of that nature. Is that correct?
Yes. Yep. Absolutely.
And I imagine you've never had to direct a candidate to lay the plane down on a country road or anything like that.
No, like I said, in Ohio here, you know, we have farm fields galore. There are no shortage of great landing places in the event of an engine failure.
John Ginley is an FAA designated pilot examiner in Ohio. In 2018, he successfully performed an emergency landing on Chicago's Lakeshore Drive. At the start of rush hour, there were no injuries. John, thank you.
Awesome. Justin, thanks. I really appreciate the opportunity to get on and talk.
John and his co-pilot, Allie, are now married. They recently celebrated their fourth anniversary. This episode of Curious City was produced by me, Justin Bull. Aaron Allen is our host. Susie Ahn is our editor. Curious City is a production of WBEZ Chicago and is part of the NPR network. If you have questions about Chicago and the region, send them our way. at curiouscity@wbez.org or visit us at wbez.org/curiouscity. I'm Justin Bull. Thank you for listening.
Rise and shy. WBEZ is serving local stories for breakfast every weekday morning from 5 to 11. Tune in on the WBEZ app to hear what Chicago's talking about as you start your day.